May it please the Court, my name is Kimberly Albro, and I'm here on behalf of the appellant Dean Walker. The issue raised in Mr. Walker's brief relates to an Ohio drug offense, which was counted against him as an enhancement. The district court held that it met the definition of a drug trafficking offense under Guideline 2L1.2. And I think the main issue with what the district court held is that the specific intent to distribute is required for an offense to qualify as a drug trafficking offense. The district court's holding results in Mr. Walker getting an enhancement based on the specific intent of a third party. And he could have had, under this particular statute, a lesser intent. For example, this court and other courts have held that transportation might not meet the definition of a drug trafficking offense. But transporting is part of this Ohio statute. So therefore, if someone is transporting drugs, say, hidden in an ambulance or in an 18-wheeler that's used for commercial purposes, they are certainly going to have some knowledge that these drugs will likely be distributed somewhere. So someone somewhere has to have the intent to distribute these drugs. However, the transporter himself doesn't have to have any kind of specific intent, but can be convicted under a lesser state of mind. I mean, the transporter's purpose could be just to make money. He doesn't have to have the specific intent to distribute these specific drugs. Also, the court has established that the categorical approach applies.
I'm following you. You posit a person who, like a mule, is that what you're positing? A drug mule?
It could be a drug mule. Anyone who's transporting, which is part of what this Ohio statute criminalizes.
The statute says, which he knows, et cetera, is intended for sale or resale.
He knows or has cause to believe that it would be intended for sale or resale himself or by a third party. And I think it's the part where it's the third party intends it for resale puts the specific intent on the third party rather on the person who's actually transporting, because this knowledge...
You make that argument as a matter of statutory interpretation of the Ohio statute.
Correct. And in the brief, I supported it with the jury instructions in Ohio make a distinction between knowledge and intent as required by this specific statute. For example, the government argued that that U.S. Gypsum case shows that there are all different kinds of levels which meet the definition of intent. But the reason that case doesn't apply is because they were trying to figure out in an antitrust law which level of intent applied. The government also cited to the U.S. versus Bailey case, which recognized that in certain cases, such as homicide or attempt or conspiracy, that heightened culpability is required. And because this court uses the categorical approach, and as such, they look at how the state defines its crime, in this case, Ohio has specifically, through its jury instructions and the way it wrote the statute, made a distinction between the knowledge that's required, that there's this general knowledge that the person who violates this Ohio statute knows that someone else intends to distribute, and the actual intent to distribute, which can...
So let's back up and look at what the categorical approach is in terms of the Ohio statute here and the definition of a drug offense under the guidelines.
Okay.
The guidelines, you agree, it has two prongs to it. There's the first prong, and then there's the second prong. And in the second prong, does it not appear that intent seems to be pretty clear? Part of the second prong is the first prong. It's the question within the guidelines, does the first prong require specific intent?
My understanding of it, and I think we're talking about the same thing,
Make sure we are.
Okay. Drug trafficking offense, as defined under the guidelines, means, I believe both prongs are required, that the defendant knowingly possesses...
There's an or between them. Or first, there's an offense that prohibits the manufacture. Or, that's where you get to the second problem. It covers an offense that prohibits the possession of.
But that's not how you read it, though, is it?
No,
you read the with intent part to apply to every act in the definition of drug trafficking.
That's correct.
That's what I wanted to get at. To make sure we identify where this, I assume the other side may disagree with your contention, but as to how do we read this statute?
Well, there is a...
Then we get to determine, does it categorically fit?
Right, because there are two separate prongs. One is there's the actual distribution or some other activity that would meet the definition of distribution. And when you're talking about the with the intent, it's usually the possession with intent. And then that's where you have to have the specific intent. And there was a case that I found, I've addressed it in the opening brief, and then in the reply brief I discussed the specific intent requirement because the government has argued that this court can infer intent, which I disagree with. But there's a Tenth Circuit 2016 case, Dominguez-Rodriguez, 817 F3D 1190, that outlines, it was a comparison of 21 U.S.C. 841 and whether it met the definition of drug trafficking offense. Believe it or not, there are not a lot of cases out there determining the elements of drug trafficking offense, which the categorical approach requires to compare the drug trafficking offense elements to the elements of the actual offense being used for the enhancement. But this Dominguez-Rodriguez case says that the possession with intent to distribute, that portion of the guideline requires that the defendant knowingly possessed the drug and had the specific intent to distribute it.
But
and
before
I think,
you leave that, I want to make sure you and I at least agree, and I know where Judge Trax is going with this, but I want to make sure I'm clear on it. You don't agree that the guideline describes essentially two prongs of the defense. One, where you could have possession without the mens rea, without specific intent. The second part, which clearly has the word intent in it, that describes an offense of which specific intent is required. In other words, unlike the first prong, the second prong requires specific intent, but the first prong does not. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
So if you have a first prong type crime, then categorically this Ohio crime would fit within it because it doesn't have the, even if it doesn't have specific, because it doesn't require specific intent.
Well, I think it would, I think the reason that it can't fit the first prong is because it doesn't have to be the actual offender who distributes the drugs. There can be a third party who distributes the drug, and the offender who's been convicted can transport the drugs, which wouldn't meet the definition of distribution.
I'm getting confused.
No, please.
Maybe you can help me.
No, go ahead. I'd rather listen to yours.
I'm looking at the definition of drug trafficking offense in the guidelines.
I'm going to grab it if you don't mind.
That's a good idea. All right, now the last line says, with intent to manufacture, import, et cetera, et cetera. My understanding was your position is that intent that's required in the last line applies to every act specified in the guideline, which would be that. So that would mean that intent would be required for manufacture, import, export, distribution, or dispensing.
That is correct. If it's because the or starts with the possession of the drug.
But I'm not sure that's what you told Judge Wynn. But
did I mess up?
Anyway, I think you and I are clear. That's
okay. Well, now let's see if I can better explain it now that I have it right in front of me. That there's actual manufacturing, importing, exporting, distribution, and dispensing. The Ohio drug statute may actually cover that, but it doesn't only cover that, and because it's not divisible, at least this version of it is not divisible, it also includes the transportation might be mere possession of a controlled substance in which there is an intent to manufacture, import, export, or distribute. And the specific intent clearly applies to the second prong of that with the possession with intent to manufacture, import, export, or distribute. I think the statute can cover both prongs of this, but where it doesn't meet the definition of a drug trafficking offense is the specific intent that's required because of
you
the third party.
You read those prongs to be conjunctive, not disjunctive.
No, I read them to be disjunctive.
work through it, maybe it just tracks it here. But it seems to me the Ohio code here prohibits only acts of distribution of controlled substances. And you look at the first prong of this, that does not require mens rea in terms of the guidelines.
I don't read the Ohio statute as only requiring distribution, because I think that because of the transportation and other prongs, there could be possession with intent to manufacture, import, export, distribute.
One day we'll get clarification. We won't have to go back and forth in these cases to do this kind of gymnastics. We've been doing this quite a bit.
That's just what I was.
And modified categorical. It's real confusing. It does not need to be like this.
Well, that is exactly what I was thinking. I can't believe we are relegated to parsing this language.
Well, I apologize if I've made it more confusing.
Evidently, you have not been able to find an Ohio case that fits within your construct of the statute.
No,
I
did not. I relied on the jury instructions that separated the mens rea, because the argument it more deals with, in my mind, whether the intent is there or not. I mean, there's also the part where there's the transporting, which in Mariquan Brand, this court has suggested that transporting would not be a drug trafficking offense. So there's that part of it, but largely the argument relates to the specific intent that's required.
Why isn't transporting distribution?
Because I think it could be just the mere possession with without having a specific intent that it be distributed. Like I said, it could be that the person's trying to make some money, they know the drugs are there, they have some
general
knowledge.
That's the problem of having the only transportation, in my mind, that's not distribution, is someone who just purchased the drugs for his or her own personal use. Right?
Well, if that's your view, then
and that would be simple possession. You could call it transporting, but you're just transporting it from the drug dealer's corner to your home.
Right, and I'm just relying on the Mariquan Brand case in this circuit, and there's the Fifth Circuit case that I cited in the brief where they also held that transporting does not meet the definition of drug trafficking. Maybe because the specific intent is lacking, and it would fall into that second prong, the possession with intent to distribute. But that is one of the arguments that is in the briefs. As I mentioned, the government does argue for inferring intent, and that is exactly what the cases that the district court relied on and that the government relies on did. They inferred intent, and that was in the Fifth Circuit case of Fuentes Orovitas and the Eleventh Circuit case of Walker. But again, this court, it was a district court case, Ponce Rodriguez, rejected that you can infer intent, and they relied on the Mariquan Brand case for that proposition. But I don't think that the specific intent can be inferred. So in other words, under this Ohio statute, if someone was transporting drugs or packaging drugs, and they knew that there were so many drugs that someone was probably going to distribute them and not use them for personal use, the only person that has to have the specific intent, if it's not the defendant actually doing the distributing, would be the third party.
But that is distribution.
But that is what the Karam case held.
Transporting drugs to someone you know is going to give them away or sell them is the distribution of the drugs. You can be charged under the statute with transporting the drugs with the intent, blah, 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 but that's a distribution of drugs.
Well, That's what the Karam case held.
I'm sorry.
That's what the Karam case held, and that's what I believe there's another case out there that holds that just the actual giving of the drugs is
with giving of the drugs with the knowledge.
But that's just with the knowledge. That's still not with the specific intent. But how about packaging them? Packaging the drugs. The person may sit in some room, package up the drugs, know that they're going to go out into the world, and knows that there's so many.
That's the intent to distribute drugs. I guess we're just parroting each other's perspective back and forth.
I see my time is up, unless you have further questions.
You have some time remaining. Let's hear from Mr. Day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm Bill Day, representing the United States. Justice Davis hit it right on the head.
I've been promoted.
I'm sorry, Judge. I apologize. Judge Davis hit it on the head. And just as the four circuits that have addressed this issue did, and Judge Curry found, when you add the with knowledge or reasonable knowledge to know that the drug is intended to be sold, it's distribution. The appellant suggested that those circuits ignored the intent issue. But that is, I submit, is not the case. In the Karam case, they start out by saying distribution is the intent to distribute a drug. They recognize that. Then they go on to find, in this case, under this statute, that that is distribution. And that's when they say they don't need to get into, because in all of these cases, including our case, the defendant is making the same argument as far as the intent. But having found that this is its actual distribution, they have decided that it's been found. Judge Curry even went so far as to contact the Ohio Probation Office and learned that in every case where this Ohio statute has been violated, a guidelines enhancement for drug distribution or a controlled substance offense has been applied. And it's been applied that way in the Sixth Circuit, has found that it's a controlled substance offense.
How do you respond to appellant's reliance on the jury instruction, the model jury instruction?
Well, I think, as Karam said, with the all you need to do is look at the statute, and under the categorical approach, which your honors are much more familiar with than me, that's what you do. You look to the statute to determine that, and all of the circuits and Judge Curry have did that and determined that this is a controlled substance statute. I think part of what's is supposed to be done is trying to make sure that you're not getting into a case where someone may be charged with a possession-type case, which is where those transportation cases come in that you all were talking about. Those are like the California cases.
So your answer seems to be, if you look at the statute and you interpret the statute consistent with the guideline, you don't go foraging around
yes.
jury instructions, which, so far as anybody can tell, have never been given in a case, because there is no case.
Yes, sir. Your Honor, that is my answer. I mean, you've got the answer there by interpreting, reading the statute, and every court that has done that has concluded that it's a controlled substance, creates a controlled substance enhancement under the guidelines. And the cases that follow that all do the same thing in every circuit. The Fifth Circuit, Fuentes, inciting Karam, and they note that the statute explicitly included a mens rea requirement concerning distribution. In the Walker case, the 11th Circuit noted that it was proper to infer intent to distribute by looking at the statute in its entirety, and the Sixth Circuit had Robinson, which held that the statute included an element of manufacture, import, distribution, or the intent to do those things. In the Wright case, said the conduct in the statute amounted to possession of a controlled substance with intent to distribute. So, and of course, Judge Curry looked at all of those and also found the same, that each of the acts listed with that knowledge constituted an act of distribution. It was a controlled substance offense. So they differ from the transportation cases. don't include the any knowledge requirement. So someone driving in the California case, someone driving into California with a bag of marijuana, a small bag of marijuana in their pocket, could be charged with transportation. So that's the problem with that statute, as opposed to the statute we have here, which I think reading the statute makes you can clearly see that it's designed to address controlled substance offenses, drug trafficking offenses. If the court doesn't have any other questions, that's all I have.
No. Thank you, Mr. Day.
Thank you.
Ms. Alvaro, you have some time remaining.
Thank you. I would just reiterate that if the court is considering whether or not it's explicit that specific intent is required by this Ohio statute, or that it must be inferred, that, as I indicated, this court doesn't infer intent, and it is a heightened state of intent, a specific intent, and I think that's why it's important that it be addressed, because these cases, Karam and the Fuentes Oivitas and the Walker cases, they decided to infer intent. Karam specifically said it wouldn't address the intent issue, and I think specific intent is a heightened state. The Ohio jury instructions, which are codified, they have their own citation, they have thought it important enough to separate the difference between knowledge in this particular statute and intent. And I do believe that a person can be convicted under this statute for a crime where a third party has the specific intent, but the person convicted does not. That's all I have, unless you have further questions.
Okay.
Thank you
very much.
You want to keep going?
Yes.
All right, we'll come down and greet counsel and then go into our next case.